Talking to stepmoms, I'm talking to ladies who have been moms to other children. And guys, some of the points in this message are going to apply to you too, so I think there's something for everybody. But I want to read some quotes or some things said about mothers that maybe we've heard them before, but I think it's worth listening to them again. It says, "Mom taught me about religion. You better pray that comes out of the carpet. Mom taught me about logic, because I said so, that's why. Mom also taught me about irony. Keep crying, and I'll give you something to cry about. She taught me about the science of osmosis. Shut your mouth and eat your supper. This is a good one. Mom taught me about the weather. Your room looks like a tornado went through it. She taught me about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. And this is a good one. She taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when we get home. She taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. And then finally, she taught me about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you." Well, some fun things about mom. You know, God is a high commitment to the ladies in our life in all that they do for us. And he's in their corner. God is in favor of moms and grandmoms and the ladies that pour into other people's lives. In your notes, and I'll have Jake put it on the screen, there's a quote, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Moms have amazing influence when it comes to the future of nations and the world and what they do in investing into kids. Abraham Lincoln, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." There was a study done of 69 kings from France, and only three of these 69 were really loved by their subjects, the people they served. And they found out in this study that the three that were greatly loved were the only three of the 69 who were raised by their actual mother. Moms have amazing influence. And so today, as I share with you some thoughts about how God is committed to mothers, I want us to also recognize that, you know, today can be a tough day for some people since some mothers have passed. Also, some moms or some ladies want to be moms, but maybe they couldn't have children. And it's a deep struggle because that is the experience of their life. For some, as I mentioned in our prayer, some may not have had the best mom. There's good memories, but there's bad, and it's a combination kind of experience. And then there's the moms who may have a child that is wayward, and there's a bit of a guilt there of like, what did I do or not do? And each person kind of works through that. So there's reasons that for some it's more of a difficult day. But I want us to understand, even in spite of that, God is highly committed to ladies in their influence and the guys in each of our lives. So what I want to do today is share with you five simple thoughts of how God wants to pour into the women and the ladies who serve others. So let's get started in your notes. Number one, the first thing that God does and he's committed to, he gives strength to the weary. He gives strength to the weary. I came across an article, I got to share it with you, by Melvin Newland. And let me just read you the summary. He says, "A man came home from work one afternoon and found his three small children outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud. Some of their toys were scattered across the lawn and on the driveway. The door of his wife's car was wide open, as was the front door to the house. Surprised, he rushed inside and he was confronted by other evidence of complete disarray. A lamp had been knocked over. The TV was loudly blaring and it was on a cartoon channel. The family room was littered with toys and children's clothing. He went into the kitchen. The sink was still full of dirty dishes. breakfast food on the counter, and there was dog food scattered all over the floor. Concerned and fearing the worst, he began to look for his wife. So he stepped over toys and more piles of clothes as he went upstairs. He rushed into their bedroom, and there she was. Still in her pajamas, she lay there curled up on a bed reading a novel. She looked up and smiled at him and asked him how his day had been. And then he said to her in a bewildered way, "What happened here today?" Again, she smiled and answered, "You know, every day when you come home from work, you ask me, what in the world have I been doing all day?" And she answered, "Well, today I didn't do it." Moms have a huge order to fill when it comes to working and maintaining the home front, and they do so much. But point number one is this: God gives strength to the weary. Read with me the two paragraphs under point one. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Notice that Isaiah says, God gives strength to the weary. If you're a mom here, a lady, a grandma, and you are weary this morning, understand God has strength for you today. In the last verse, Isaiah identifies four positions. Let me walk through them with you. First one is this: there's a waiting position of an eagle. Number two, there's a mounting up. And when you mount up, you expend a lot of energy to get something done. Moms get that. There's a lot of horsepower involved with certain tasks. Position number three is when you walk. Position number four is when you run. I want to focus on the one key position that renews our strength. It's called waiting. Waiting. Isaiah said, those who wait upon the Lord, that means we are still and we allow him to fill us. I thought about a car, and we do not fill a gas tank in a moving car. It's got to be stopped. And so when a car is in a stop position, it can be refueled. So ladies, the first point is this: God can give us all strength, but it has to be in a certain position, not when we're mounting up, not when we're walking, and not when we're running through life. It's only when we are still and we take times of silence before God himself. Here's what happens. He'll refuel us. He'll give us new strength and new energy. So find that time in the morning, afternoon, or evening where you can get by yourself. I know that's a challenge. But wait before the God, because God says he will renew your strength if we wait upon him in his presence. So here's the verse. I'll have Jake put it up. Key thought: those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Number two, the second thing that God gives to how he's committed to mothers is this: he gives wisdom to the perplexed. He gives wisdom to the perplexed. I've shared before about a mother who graduated college, and she was talking to an old friend, and she said, wow, before I got married, I had three theories on how to raise kids. And now I have three kids, and I have no theories. I was reading about, this woman was talking about the teenage years of kids and how it's difficult on parents, either through rebellion or you can't get through to them. And she said, well, the brain is still developing some of the synapses, and it's not fully formed, and that can account for some of the confusion of why sometimes you can't even reason with teenagers. But raising kids can be a perplexing job, can it not? Like, what do I do here? But here's the deal. God promises wisdom to those who ask for it. Read with me James 1:5 in your notes. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given him. James says we just need to ask. And God says he will give us wisdom when it's so perplexing in the home. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. And then finally, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's read that together. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he make your path straight. There are times where we just don't get it in life. But God is in our corner, and he wants us to understand. He'll give us wisdom when life is perplexing. I was reading a devotional book by Rick Warren, Better Together, and in one of the chapters, he makes this amazing comment. He says, stop trying to win arguments. Instead, make it your goal to love those who disagree with you. And here's the key thought. I'll have Jake put it up. There we go. Go for the love, not the win. I reflected on that the past couple days, and I thought, you know, there's some great insight in that. Go for the love factor when you're in the heat of a disagreement, not necessarily the final word. He says we shift our goal. It's a strategy, a principle that works even in marriages or with friends. Go for the love, not necessarily the win or the final word. So God gives us wisdom when we need it, when we're perplexed. Number three, the third truth about God being in our corner is this. He gives rest to the burdened. Rest to the burdened. Read with me Matthew 11 in your notes. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Circle the word yoke. A yoke is a wooden instrument that is put on two animals so they can work together. And when two animals work together, they can pull a lot more weight. I've got a great story about the year is 1990. Michael Jordan had a career-high 69 points in one game. 69 points. And Stacy King was a teammate. He was a rookie. And he made one free throw, so he had 1 point. Well, at the press conference after the game, they're talking to people. And here's what Stacy King said. Michael Jordan and I combined for 70 points. They did. You see, when we are yoked with Christ, we allow him into our life. We say, I want you to come in and be my Savior and Lord. When we allow that to happen and we have this connection, he will do the heavy lifting. He will be the Michael Jordan. He will score the points. I mean, we have to do our part too, but understand that the yoke is not meant to be laden, heavy, burdensome, but rather he will lighten the load, because he has the eternal strength to carry it going forward. You know, I read where moms are taxi cab drivers, they're doctors, they're psychiatrists, they're counselors, and the list goes on and on. They do all these things. And the load can be rather burdensome, but Jesus said, you come to me, take up the yoke. In other words, submit and allow Christ to be a part of your life. And going forward, he will carry the heavier load and give us strength when we are loaded down. So number three, he gives rest to the burden. Here's the picture. I'll have Jake put it up. Sleep is the best time to repair, but it's hard to get a good night's rest when we don't dial the inner chatter down. Isn't it true that in order to get true rest, we somehow have to come to the place of surrendering and say, God, Help me just to lean into your strength. All right, point number four. The fourth thing is this. He gives peace to the anxious. Peace to the anxious. Read with me the verses under number four. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. These verses could be titled The Great Exchange. We bring our anxiousness and our anxiety to God, and we, through prayer, we surrender it. And He gives us this thing called peace. It's an exchange. But if we don't ever go into His presence to give it to Him, it's hard for Him to give us His peace. It's amazing to me the amount of anxiety in today's world. Kids today, it's very prevalent. Young kids have a high level of anxiety. And even adults, the anxiousness of life itself, and the world is in chaos. There's wars, there's all kinds of traumatic events going on. There's shootings in America, and the sense of anxiousness can be super high. But I want us to understand that God does not want us to live in that place. He does not want us to have the high anxiety experience. He wants us to figure out the principles of how we lean into Him, and through the exchange, we can have a sense of peace. In one of the Gospels, it's talking about when Jesus will return. And Jesus is saying there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and there's going to be all fightings and so forth. And then in this text, there's just a few words. To the effect, it says this. Jesus says, do not be alarmed. If you are God's son or daughter, and you have Christ in your life, and you turn on the world news, and you hear about Ukraine and Russia, the shootings in America, I mean, it's crazy world we live in. But listen, He says, do not be alarmed. You know what He's saying? I want to give you peace as my child and not have you experience the high anxiety that the world throws at us every day. And so, moms, listen, God wants to give us peace. And as we exchange our anxiousness and surrender it to Him. Here's a verse or a quote. We'll finish this one out. Be so rooted in your being that nobody's absence or presence can disturb your inner peace. When we are rooted in God's love and His grace, I mean, we go deep with that. Let me tell you, the absence or the presence of another person doesn't have to disturb our peace down in. All right, and finally, number five. The fifth thing that God gives to moms and all the ladies is this. He gives His presence to the lonely. His presence to the lonely. Do you know that one of the greatest needs in America today is loneliness? It's possible to have people around you and still be lonely. It's possible to go to work and come home or even be married, and still a person has a degree of loneliness. There's something missing. And so in John 14:16, let's read it together. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Circle the word comforter. It's the Holy Spirit. It's God's active presence in human life. He will come in and live inside you to fill the void or the loneliness that eats away at our hearts. Read it with me, Revelation 3:20 in your notes. Look, I've been standing at the door, and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. I want to give you great insight. Did you know your heart has a door on it? It's a door that you and I are in charge of. And Jesus will knock on the door on every person's heart. And if anybody opens the door from the inside, he says he will come in and fellowship with him. It's like a potluck meal. It's like a gathering. It's when you get together and just have a good time. He will come into any person's life and have this sense of connectional experience if we open the door and let him in. I was reading about a lady or a person was writing about moms and even having all the kids around. And the author said, even in those circumstances, moms and grandmoms and ladies, they can still feel lonely when everybody's around them. It's this lack of connectionalism. And so God says this, he will give his presence if we open the door, we let him in, he will come inside, and we will have a fellowship meal with Jesus himself through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's who he is. He's committed to us. In Hebrews 13:5, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So moms, here's the deal. God will give his presence to fill any void in your life when life isn't perfect, either with kids or on the home front, with husbands, whatever it might be. He will give us his presence to fill that place within us that only he can fill. Here's a quote I'll have Jake put up. God's presence is all that matters. When we get him lined up properly, he will step into that doorway and do something for us that nobody else can. So five things that God, ways that God is committed to moms and stepmoms and grandmothers and ladies. Number one, he gives strength to the weary. Understand, the only position a person renews their strength is when they wait. It's when they're still. The mounting up, the walking, the running, you can't fill or put gas in a moving car. It's got to be parked, and it can be recharged and refueled. Number two, he gives wisdom to the perplexed. Are you stumped about life with kids, teenagers, whatever it might be? He says he'll give you wisdom, and here's the insight. Go for the love, not the win. And God will give us wisdom as we ask him. Number three, he gives rest to the burden. If you feel weighted down today, there's a yoke that connects you to Christ. If you just surrender to it, he'll become the Michael Jordan. He'll do the heavy lifting. He'll move it forward with his strength, and you're connected to him. Number four, he gives peace to the anxious. If there's high anxiety or worry, listen, the exchange program, God has still works today. We give it to him, and he gives us his peace in return. And finally, number five, he gives us his presence to the lonely. If you're here today, and you know, I just have to say this, in a group this size and those listening online, we have people all around us, but we can still be lonely. Can we not? Let me tell you, the doorway is there that when we push it open and say, hey, God, come into my life. I want to have that fellowship time with you. He will fill that void. I have a concluding slide. Here it is. In the book of Nehemiah, he wrote, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Let me just kind of end the message with this thought. Ladies, thank you for all you do. All you've done through the years. I mean, this isn't a one-time deal. This is over time. You give yourself so freely and generously and sacrificially. I'd have to affirm that my mother made the difference in who I am today. She's no longer on this earth, but I have to just say that. Her DNA is a part of mine. I mean, I'm just personality. She was a huge influence on my life. Maybe the same with you. But understand that when you've poured into people, there's a reward for you. You know what it is? The joy of the Lord. There's nothing greater than when you give yourself sacrificially and fully to other people and you make a difference in in your family's life, in kids, in the community's life. Let me tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so, ladies, our prayer for you today is that you will have just a high joy factor today and going forward, all because all that you've done for other people. And keep in mind, God is in your corner to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Let's pray. Father, we bow and we thank you for moms and ladies, stepmoms, grandmothers, people that have poured into us. They're here today. Or they've gone before. And we just want to thank you for them. And we pray a blessing upon each of them today who have given so freely and sacrificially. Lord, may you amplify the joy factor in their life. May it be a 10 out of 10 today and that going forward. May you just bless them in a way that only you can because of what they've given out through the years. May you pour it back into their lives today with the joy of the Lord being their presence. So, Father, we thank you for your goodness to us through the ladies in our life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.